Welcome to Keys of the Kingdom and Straight Talk on Blog Talk. I haven't done Blog Talk in a while, so I'm just recalling all the buttons you got to push and trying to figure out how to do all this. At the same time, I want to bring you a message about what's going on in Oregon, because I happen to live real close to what's happening at the Muir Wildlife Refuge. I know people that have gone down there the other day and gone down there last week. I know the sheriff. The sheriff actually helped build a fence here on the church property. Years ago, his kids from his first marriage are still here. His ex-wife is still here. I pulled them out of the ditch the other day, so I'm intimately aware of the family. I also been living in a ranching community for, you know, over 30 years, been in farming and rural agricultural areas for a long time, decades and decades. And I'm familiar with a lot of the people and the way they think in these communities and how they operate. You know, what is a controlled burn? Somebody actually told me the other day, somebody actually works for the government, says, oh, no, the BLM doesn't do any controlled burns. They do them all the time. People are talking through their hat. I listen to the media and I cringe at some of the things that the media is saying. And so we created a web page at preparingyou.com, and just look up the word Hammond, and you'll find the basic page on the Hammond plight, the difficulties that the Hammonds have been facing. But we also have another page on the Occupy Refuge movement, because that's what they are doing. They're occupying the refuge. Actually, they're not occupying even the refuge. That's a misnomer in itself. It's 186,000 acres. There's a few people. Even with all the people that have come in since, they're not occupying the refuge. They walked into public buildings that are unlocked, unmanned, nobody there. You know, a lot of people live in the cities. They have no idea. You know, we have cars up and down our driveway. They're there overnight. They're not locked. The keys are in them. Nobody comes and steals them. Our door was unlocked all last night. Nobody charged in the front door, in a house invasion here. Because everybody in this community is armed. And there isn't any of this kind of robbery. I mean, we'll get occasionally somebody will try to steal gas out of the gas tanks, you know. And actually, the guy who does it most often, he just does it for fun. He makes more money than I do. But he's got an obsession with those kinds of things. He had since he was a little boy, and we've known him since he was a boy. And he was getting in trouble back then. People in a community like this, we know everybody, we know what's going on. The people in the cities, if you watch the news, you have no idea what's going on in Burns, Oregon. Because I haven't seen a news program yet who's really laid things out, who really knows what they're talking about. And I've looked at, lots and lots of, everything is now, you can go check it out on videos, interviews, and et cetera, et cetera. And he goes, we don't even have TV out here. I mean, it's 75 miles to go to the grocery store, doctors, anything. This is rural communities. And because of that, people stick together a lot. And, I mean, you can go around and find out who likes the Hammonds. And I'm sure you can find somebody who don't like the Hammonds, because you always find that in the community. But all the reports is that they're great people. They give you a shirt off their back. They do all kinds of favors for you. And they're not criminals. The judge himself said there was no malicious intent. This is the judge saying this. And this is interesting because if there was no malicious intent, it really isn't arson, because arson is defined as a malicious act. It has to be a malicious act. The judge said there was no malicious intent. So anybody who refers to the Bundys having, the Hammonds having created, done arson, much less a terrorist act, is mistaken. They should not use that term. They started a fire, but that doesn't make an arson. Starting a fire, if you light up a cigarette, do we call that arson? It's bad for you to light up a cigarette, so we could say that that's malicious. And since there will be secondary smoke, we can actually call that an act of terrorism because you may be damaging other people's lungs. That's silly, but that actually fits the description of a domestic terrorist by arson more than what the Bundys did. The Bundys had a control burn. They asked permission to do it, or at least they notified the local people, which is the way people do things out in this country, the local fire department, so that nobody came running out because they saw smoke, because they would get a call. Some neighbor will call in and say, oh, I see smoke over there. And they'll say, yeah, they called in. They said they were going to be starting a fire. And so they won't rush out and waste time doing that. And they're starting at the right time. That stayed under control. It burned maybe an acre of BLM ground. We're talking about somebody who has a 6,000-acre ranch, and the acre that it burned is their graze anyway. They pay for the graze. They paid to put their animals on it. So it didn't do any damage. Experts came in. Government people who work for the government came in and said there was no damage whatsoever. The fires actually improved the ground, which is actually what they were meant to do. That's in the testimony. See, if you're going to try these people in the media, you're not an American. You can go to our website. You go to the Hammond website that we have there at preparingyou.com, and you page down. You can read the court documents. You can read the testimony. But if you're not going to do that, then stop judging the situation. Keep trying to find out what actually happened. Second fire. There was a lightning strike. There was a fire coming. They started a backfire. The backfire worked. It put it out, and they saved feed. And again, the experts came in and said no damage. Also, the experts came in to see if there was any cost to the BLM. No cost. Absolutely zero. Even the judge said it was less than $100 worth of damage at most. In sentencing, he's saying no malicious intent, no damage, less than $100. And that was his opinion. Less than $100 could be zero, which the experts said there was zero. So now they're paying $400,000 to the BLM for no damage whatsoever, no cost to the BLM whatsoever. And they decided to charge them just days before the statute of limitations ran out. So they have this is like, why are they doing this? This didn't cost them anything. It didn't do any damage. It improved the ground. Why are they even bringing these charges? Whose idea is it to bring these charges? That right there should give you enough suspicion to know that something drastically unjust is going on. Plus, they get, between the two of them, they're going to spend 10 years in jail for starting a fire that did no damage, that improved the ground, and stopped a wildfire that had been started by lightning strikes. Somebody comes along and says, oh, well, they were covering up poaching. That's the most idiotic thing I have ever heard, covering up poaching. What are you thinking? I actually know people who have poached. He's passed away now, so I can say it was the justice of the peace. He was telling me how he had a deer hung up in his barn when the sheriff came by to deliver papers for the justice of the peace, and he was quickly trying to wipe his hands off so he can get out there. You think of you people in the cities, oh, a Bambi killer, oh, he shot a deer. You know where you can find most of the deer? In the ranchers' haylots, in the ranchers' fields, on the ranchers' haycot. I've seen as many as four deer standing on the hay cart of the rancher. They feed the deer. You guys in the city, you're not feeding the deer. When the Fish and Wildlife fed the deer, they fed them along the road, and they were dead deer in the highway because they were fed them too close to the road. But, it's a lot of work to carry it out into the, sagebrush and throw out feed. Look, the ranchers care. Here, Fish and Wildlife, supposedly they're bringing all the fish and wildlife and all that kind of stuff, and they do some good. But the reality is the reason the Mohair Wildlife Refuge is there is because ranchers saved it. You go back and look at the history. Before 1908, people were draining swamps in the area, spreading the water out to grow more grass, produce more game, more wildlife, more deer. There was very little there when the Indians had it. I mean, the water was coming through, and it's meandering through, and it was watering a little area here and a little area there. They bloomed the desert, the ranchers did. And they also realized that some swamps aren't worth draining. The soil will never produce a crop. They're better off staying swamps. And being the good husbandmen that these ranchers are, they protected some of these swampy areas. And they are still open water, as open as they get. They get overgrown too much, then even the wildlife doesn't want to come into them. But the rats do, and mice, they'll come into them because it's all overgrown with weeds, et cetera. You need to graze some of these areas off from time to time, because then that's where you're going to find the geese. That's where you're going to find them, is out there in the fields with the cattle. I mean, the local head of the Fish and Wildlife here has said it in open meetings that the cattle are good for wildlife. Now, can a rancher have abusive practices? Absolutely. But he goes out of business. If he doesn't produce feed and environment and habitat, he's going to go out of business. Ranchers are not like some row crop farmer. They're very well tied to the land. That's another thing. Here's a guy with 6,000 acres, got cattle everywhere. He's got to go poach to get meat. I mean, the government raided his place. Did they find venison in the freezer? Did they find any evidence? This is rumors. You cannot convict a person for 10 years on rumors. Let's go on. Let's make some comparisons. A Dakota fire that the rancher said don't start to the BLM, or actually it was the Forest Service. Don't start the fire. It's too late in the year. It's too dangerous. The weather isn't right. The weather people said the weather isn't right. They started it anyway, and they burned 11,000 acres, most of that private land. When you burn up that feed, it isn't just, oh, little eyesore. They don't have feed. This is thousands and thousands of dollars. Actually, it was estimated over $2.5 million worth of damage. Did they get fined? No, they didn't get fined. Did they have to pay anybody for the damage they did? No, they said they don't owe anybody anything. But the Hammonds, who did no damage, cost nobody any money, started the fire, put it out, improved the ground with the fire, saved feed, saved areas that were about to be burned up by a wildfire. They should have got a medal. Instead, they go to jail for 10 years, 5 years apiece. 80-year-old, almost 80-year-old man. What's going on? That's injustice. It's not hard. Even the judge said to give them any more would shock the conscience. People say, oh, well, they had their day in court. Well, did they get to bring in all the witnesses that they wanted to bring in? No. Were some witnesses intimidated by the government who wanted to bring forth evidence of wrongdoing by the BLM? Yes, they say they did. They want to testify. They were afraid to until men came and occupied the Mohair public buildings. And, yeah, they're occupying them. Anybody can go in there. The government workers could show up, and they would come in unmolested. I don't even know if they work in there on a regular basis. They may be empty most of the time. But people are shocked. People, neighbors who go up there and drive in, they just go in. There's no barricades. Nobody's keeping anybody out. All the pictures I see of the people that are actually in the occupied, they're not carrying guns. Now, some guys are carrying guns, and they may even have pistols underneath their coats in some cases. And I have seen some with, a rifle and a saddle scabbard. But you got to put this into perspective of people out here. Everybody's got guns out here. It's what you do. We got cougars and now we got wolves and everything running around. there is no crime. This is not downtown Chicago where you have all kinds of violence. These are moral, caring people. People refer to them as anti-government. How are they anti-government? They're holding up the Constitution. They want the Constitution followed. They call the government. They call the sheriff. They They want justice. That doesn't make them anti-government, does it? No. Are they dangerous? Well, I think some of the things that, you know, by this occupying and some of the ways they went about it, inviting a lot of people in that they didn't know, they didn't vet, they have since, and they have removed them, was very dangerous. But they're regular people. And the people that are demonizing them in the media are guilty of a crime. And look at the federal offices. You know, the attorney who brought all this on has resigned, supposedly for health reason. In reality, she was under investigation for stalking one of the employees in their offices. And, you know, that's just a matter of record. I'm not making it up. And you can look these things up, but you don't bother looking them up if you're going to judge these people based on the sound bites coming out of places like CNN and the different news media, Fox News, what have you. I don't care who it is. I haven't found any of them hardly. Lou Dobbs said a few good things the other day, but he was all hot and bothered. The reality is this is an injustice that happened to the Hammonds. And they say, well, the Hammonds don't want to have anything to do with them. Did you know that the federal government threatened this family when they were talking to Mr. Bundy way back when, who offered some support because he'd gone through the same thing that they're doing, land grabs by the government? And we won't have time to go all into it now. Why are they doing this? Well, actually, there's a reason they're doing it. Do they have a right to do it? Well, that gets a little bit more complicated. I understand the arguments in the Constitution that the federal government doesn't own this property. It can't own this property by the Constitution. It's management. They're not owners of the property. But they can put the property up for collateral for debt. And the United States government has debt. It has debt to places like China. Lots and lots of debt because they got all these debt notes and they can come in and redeem them. And so redeem them for what? We don't have any gold left anymore, so what are they redeeming them for? They could dump all these dollars on the market and collapse the U.S. dollar. They have so many. So what's keeping them from doing that? Well, there's two reasons. One is they don't want to see the economy collapse because it's helping them to have it up. But they could absolutely devastate this country by collapsing the dollar, and they're not doing it. And they're not entirely in love with us. That's not entirely why they're doing it. If their economy collapsed, they're still a totalitarian dictatorship. They can still control. They got enough resources. They can just keep their people in line and continue successfully. They'll have trouble, but they'll just put it down with the army. So what's their other motivation? We're making deals with them. Your government is making deals with them. And you can say, oh, conspiracy theory. Go look at the contracts. There are contracts being given to Chinese companies owned by the Chinese government, not by the people, but by the Chinese government, multi-billion-dollar contracts given to them without even putting up to bids to American companies. And they're getting them. They're building a city south of Idaho. There's all kinds of people buying land from China. They're getting the leases on the minerals. That's what they want, is the mineral rights under the land. These guys are not out for... They tell you, oh, we're going to create this beautiful refuge where you can come and bird watch and all this stuff. People actually said, I heard a news person saying, it says, why should we give the refuge back to the ranchers? Because they took better care of it, for one thing, and the ranchers don't really want the refuge. They'd like to see the BLM take care of it properly. What the ranchers want back is the land that used to be the ranchers that has been taken away from them. Remember, after 1908, that was the richest county in the state of Oregon, or at least one of the richest. Now it's one of the poorest. Why? Because hundreds of ranchers are being driven out of business by tactics of the government. Now you say, oh, that can't be true. Our government wouldn't do that. You're naive, because they would. So, you know, you have to look, and we have a lot of this history down. I mean, I could write you a book on what's going on there. I could also write you a book on what's going on behind the scenes. But you have to take the time to do it. You have to try to find out what's really going on here. What is? I actually disagree with Bundy's argument on the Constitution. He is absolutely right. He's read it. He studied it. And he is absolutely correct from a certain point of view that the federal government doesn't have a right to own that property. And it doesn't. But it manages it as if it owns it. And it's using its power. Unchecked power. Why unchecked power? Because all you do is watch TV and imagine you know what's going on. Because you're not, you don't really care about your neighbor. I saw a bunch of complaints, even from David Ward. David, like I said, I've known for years, you know, that these outsiders have come in. And that Harney County can take care of its own. Well, its own is doing 10 years in jail for being a hero. And you let it happen because you said things like, hey, they had their day in court. There's clearly, if you read the case with any kind of law understanding, I've been in courtrooms for over 50 years. My father was a lawyer before that, summa cum laude, practiced in numerous states, handled international cases, wrote law books for years. There was judicial misconduct on the part of the judge, Logan. Clearly, judicial misconduct, poor jury instructions, disallowing witnesses to come in. And evidently, there was obstruction of justice in several cases, in several areas by the BLM and by the federal government, by the prosecutors. And what was appealed up? People say, oh, the case was appealed. No, the only thing that was appealed up was the sentencing. They said, well, they were convicted of this crime of domestic, you know, arson, terrorist action, and, you know, and it falls under a certain code. And that requires a 5-year minimum sentence. The judge knew that, but he didn't give them the sentence. What the judge should have done is said, when he said there was no malicious intent, there was no damage, he said, they're not guilty of the crime. They didn't have malicious intent, and they didn't damage anything. And they were actually improving things. And the only thing you could possibly get them on a misdemeanor, failing to apply to the BLM for a permit. We do things out here by phone calls. You got to remember, again, it's 75 miles to town. It's a huge thing to go in and get a permit. We call up and say, hey, we're going to do this, and they say, okay. They said they did. The BLM said they didn't. That's a he said, she said. That isn't 10 years in jail. There's no damage. There's no injury. The court said so. Not just me. Not Bundy said so. The judge said so. The witnesses said so. Why are they in jail? Why are they getting this exorbitant, ridiculous, absurd, obscene, shocking the conscience fine? $400,000. You people need to wake up. You need to show up. If you had gone down to the court there, you local inhabitants in Harney, actually cared about your neighbor as much as you care about yourself, and I know you do, but you don't know how to do it because you're out of practice because you think it's somebody else's job to make sure that justice is done. No, it's your job. If you're a Christian, you're supposed to be tending to the weightier matters of what? What did Jesus say the weightier matters were? This is Jesus' mouth. Law, judgment, mercy, and faith. You're not doing that. You need to change your ways. Now, there's a petition floating around. We're going to try to get you a link to it on our network. Everybody should join the Living Network and go to preparingyou.com, click on the network links, join it in your local areas, and start caring about your neighbor as much as you care about yourself. Care about your neighbor's rights as much as you care about yourself. Read the articles if you want to know any more. The Occupy Refuge Movement, the Hammond article. We got all kinds of dozens and dozens of links in these things, videos, quotes from stories, links to where we get this information, and you can get educated. But more important, this is happening in Idaho next. 400 ranchers are going to lose their ground. Cattle prices are probably going to go up pretty soon with all this kind of stuff going on, but they keep importing them. But there's stuff going on you need to know about, and you don't want to wait to the last minute to find out. You need to change the way in which you deal with one another. You need to become more righteous in the way you care about one another. I know there are good people in Harney County, and there are people that are now standing up. I mean, those people are just inundated. Everybody says, "Oh, run out of food and water." They just go into town. It's not an Occupy with, you know, fortress kind of thing. But they don't have to go into town because ranchers and locals, very first night, people were bringing them food because they do support them. Yeah, people say, oh, because they're embarrassed. We could take care of it in our own county. Well, you didn't. And I understand why. And I can forgive that. But you got to repent. You got to turn around and start caring about one another. Now, there's a petition, like I said, floating around. And if you get enough signatures on that petition, you might be able to get leniency or even a pardon, which you should get, for these people and get them out of jail. And that would be a good start. And stop worrying about the Bundys. They're actually, you know, the people have gone and talked with the FBI and back and forth. They're not doing any harm there. They've actually cleaned the place up better. They found, you know, a rat bathroom, you know, several inches thick in one of the buildings. They cleaned it all out. Yeah, they have a couple of wild characters that came by, and they've removed some of those. They'll probably get some more and hopefully remove those. Yeah, it's causing a little bit of disturbance in the local community, but the local community needed shaken up. Our community needs shaken up. Whole nation needs shaken up. And if you wait too long, it's going to get shook up one way or the other. If you wait too long, millions will die. And we can cover a lot of different topics. We'll have open phone calls and all that kind of stuff eventually on this. And maybe we'll do this blog talk more often. But you need to wake up and start caring about others and their rights as much as you care about your own. You need to get educated. That's your responsibility about what's really happening in places. Now, do I suppose they did? They did what they did because they wanted to bring media attention to an injustice. Everybody's talking about the Hammonds. The petition is floating around. They're national news. If it wasn't for them, the other demonstration that had been there would have been a blip between bites of your TV dinner. And those people would be spending 10 years in jail between the two of them. We need to change. We need to change the way we do things. So, until next time. Well, I have a couple more minutes, so I'll just put in a little commercial here. Join the network, the Living Network. You don't have to go out and join the militia. You know what the militia is? Every man between the ages of 17 and 45. That's what the U.S. Code says. You don't even have to have a gun to be in the militia. So the militia is supposed to be the seeing the rights of the other people, their neighbors. Caring about their neighbor as much as they care about themselves. That's really what the militia is. That's what the network is about. You don't have to go get armed. You don't have to get camo. I don't even think I own camo. But you have to care about one another. And there's lots of things that you can do to do that and practice that. We used to do that in this country. We forgot about it because we said, oh, the government will take care of it. Government will take care of it. You're the government of the people, for the people, by the people. You got to take care of it. So join the network. Watch for that petition. You can join the Kingdom News List, and you'll get a little bit more. We got articles coming out with news views. But anyway, it's up to you to get involved. And if you do, you may change things. It certainly will change things for you. And until then, peace on your house, and may God be with you. And if you don't join the network, then you're on your own. So lots of luck with that. God bless.